So good morning, everyone. If everybody could take their seats. Thank you all for coming. We've had a lot of changes this year, and we appreciate your willingness to be able to support us in these changes. For those of you who have been with us before, welcome back. And for those of you who are joining us for the first time, welcome. This is actually our 11th year of this conference, and we've had it at multiple venues, and we were very fortunate to be invited to be able to come out here to St. Helena's. And so this is our first time venturing into Montgomery County, and so we are tapping into an entirely new demographic and a new audience. I'm Dr. Les Ruppersberger. I'm on the board of the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network. And we have been, as I said, running these conferences for the past 11 years on topics that have everything to do with natural family planning. We have over 500 people on our mailing list. We publish Life Cycles Quarterly, which is our quarterly newsletter. And we do actually have memberships, and there are actually people who pay dues. But out of those 500 people on the mailing list, we only have 19 dues-paying members. So anyone who is not a member that would like to join, George has a table out front that you can join. It is a nominal fee to be on the mailing list and to get the newsletters. And we just want to keep the language and the words and the message of natural family planning out in our culture and out in our environment. We have many changes this year. One of them primarily, obviously, I mentioned the change in venue, but we also moved to a half-day format. In previous years, we would run till 3 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and gradually as the day progressed, we would lose attendance and lose people. So we decided rather than take your entire Saturday, that we would spend the morning sharing some messages and trying to get into some key topics that will help us understand why it is that our culture and our society doesn't know about what the message is for natural family planning. What is this message? Is it the message? Is it the messenger? Is it the audience? Is it the culture? And so we're going to try to sort some of those things out this morning with our speakers. I'd like to invite Sister Sheila Galligan, who teaches theology at Immaculata University and who has been a stalwart member of our board for the last 15 years, to lead us in opening prayer.
Thank you, Les, and good morning to all. Let us place ourselves in God's gracious presence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty and eternal God, you blessed the union of married couples so that they might reflect you, O Father, the maker of all. You adorn all creation with splendor and beauty and fashion human lives in your image and likeness. Awaken in the hearts of all your people, but especially the engaged and husbands and wives. Awaken a reverence for their bodies, the work of your hands. And I thought we could pray together some intercessions. For diocesan natural family planning apostolate, that the Holy Spirit will especially inspire physicians, nurses, educators to become trained in the teaching of NFP, we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the diocesan natural family planning staff, that their work may be blessed and strengthened as they help the people of God embrace God's gifts of human sexuality, marriage, and family, we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For natural family planning teachers, that they may be filled with zeal, the fire of God's love, as they teach engaged couples about God's design for married love and the gift of life, we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
for Catholic schools of medicine and nursing, that the Holy Spirit will move both faculty and students to study and embrace the Church's teachings on human love in the divine plan. We pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our neighbors, co-workers, friends, and all of God's people, that they may recognize and celebrate all human life as a gift from God and a reason for great joy, we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And we ask Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of life and love, to intercede for us. We pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister. Sister is, as I mentioned, on our board. We also have George Finnan, who has been on the board from the inception of the PNFPN, one of the founders of the organization some 15 years ago, give or take 20 years. And we have Father John Gaben, who could not be with us today. He has pastoral duties at his parish with First Holy Communion. We have Monsignor Shoemaker, also on our board, pastor of St. Ignatius, and he could not be with us here today. He has a visiting priest coming in to do a parish mission who is coming from India, so we had to greet him at the rectory and be available for him this morning. We have Chris Meredith. We have Steve Boza, who is from the Office of Life, Family, and Laity, who joined us last year, and we have Michael Castagno, who has also been with us since the beginning as our treasurer and handling our vast treasures that we have in the bank and monitoring all of our finances. We do have openings on the board for anyone that may be interested. And if you are interested, let George know. We meet a couple of times a year to try to keep this message and keep the energy going and keep the organization going. And the more hands that we have and the more input and the ideas that we have, I would also be remiss in two new members. One I just met today, Christine Rizzo, who's with us, who did our beautiful artwork for our flyer, and also June Matijic, who teaches theology with Sister. They also participate in our conference calls with our board. And so all the help that we can get, we would appreciate. So without any further ado, we're going to move forward with our speakers. Our first speaker is John Harden. And again, every year the Holy Spirit and leads us to in the direction of our topics and also our speakers. And so all of these speakers come to us as a gift to promote the message of natural family planning. John received his bachelor's degree in theology from Benedictine College in Atchison, Kansas. He has a master's in theology from Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio. He has taught theology at Newman University in Aston, Pennsylvania, and he's a regular presenter of God's Plan for a Joy-Filled Marriage for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. John is the brand manager of the Great Adventure Catholic Bible Study Program at Ascension Press, and he, his wife, and his four children live in Westchester, and John is going to start us out by sharing the message of what we men should know about the message of natural family planning. So, John, if you will, thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, Sheila, for the prayer. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. And welcome, everyone. I'm very excited to be here today with you. I'm excited because I really believe that natural family planning is one of the best kept secrets in the world. It is. It's one of the best kept secrets in the world. It solves so many problems that we face as a society today, as a church, as Christians, but in the entire world. And so I feel like all of us here today are part of this secret club, the secret natural family planning club. And so I'm happy to be here with you today to build this excitement about what this is and about what it does for us. Because I don't want natural family planning to be a secret. And I know you don't want that either. I know you want to share it. You want to share it with your friends and your family and those that you meet. So how do we do that? That's what I'd like to talk about today. How do we share this message? How do we share the beauty and the treasures of natural family planning with those that we meet? Now, we face a little bit of an uphill struggle because when it comes to natural family planning, our culture and also our society has a stigma against it. And it's not limited, obviously, to non-Catholics or non-Christians. For example, when my wife and I were preparing for marriage, we were meeting with some of her family at the time, and we were talking with one of her aunts. And her aunt was asking us, you know, the typical things you would ask a married couple. Where do you plan on going? What do you plan on doing, John? Where do you plan on living? What do you see for your future as a couple? And of course, she asked that one question that we all face. How many children do you plan to have? Right? How many children do you plan to have? And we said what was on our hearts. We plan to have as many children as God would like to give us. And she was taken aback. Right? Oh my goodness. You're going to have 12 kids? No. We'll have as many children as we discern God wants to give us. And she said, Oh, right. So what form of contraception are you going to use? What form of contraception are you going to use? And my wife said, we're going to use natural family planning. She was very, very excited. She said, we're going to use natural family planning. That's what we're going to determine through discernment, how many children God would like to give us and what we would like to do in our family, what God is calling us to do as a family. To which your aunt replied, oh, well, you know what they call people who use natural family planning, right? Parents. Yeah, you guys know the joke. To which I say, amen, right? Yes, we're parents. Amen, we're parents. That's why we're getting married. I am marrying your niece because I love her, and I want to start a family with her. I'm not marrying her for selfish reasons. I love her, and I want to give of myself to her, and she wants to give of herself to me. So yes, amen, we're parents. That being said, I think she's revealing this stigma. The stigma that natural family planning is somehow ineffective, right? It's somehow ineffective. People still associate it with the rhythm method. And, you know, we fought this for years, but people still associate it with the rhythm method. It's ineffective. Or, what I think is worse, is there's this perception that natural family planning is for Catholics because they can't use contraception. And we know that both of those couldn't be further from the truth. Natural family planning is for everyone because it's what's in the best interest of a family. It's what's in the best interest of a family, and it's a treasure. It's a treasure. We've experienced it in our own marriage. I'm sure you have experienced it in yours as well. So we know that the misconceptions and the misperceptions about natural family aren't true. But how do we overcome that? How do we spread the joy and the beauty of this teaching to others? And that's what I'd like to do today. I'd like to share my perspective as a man, coming as a husband, my perspective of how I would share it with others, my short elevator pitch, if you will. If you had the span of an elevator ride to speak to somebody, what would you say? What would you say in that short amount of time that would pique someone's interest about natural family planning, that would pique their interest so that they would want to practice it in their own life? So this is essentially the elevator pitch. And I have three goals today. My first goal is to share what. What is it that we say? What is it we say to others about natural family planning that would be so beneficial for them in their marriage, in their life? So what? The second goal is to share how. How do I, in my experience, share this with others? How do I spread this message? Because the what, as wonderful as it is, as beautiful as natural family planning is, that message will not get across, as Dr. Rufersberger was saying, if the messenger isn't delivering well, right? So we have to follow that how. How do we do it? How do we get the message across? And number three, time permitting, I want to share a short reflection on how I experience natural family planning as a man. How I prepare in my spiritual life using natural family planning principles. How I prepare as a husband to enter into the marital union. So those are my three goals for today. So first, the what. What is it that we want to share about natural family planning? I could share with you a number of facts, and you could go out on the tables and pick up a pamphlet and see the facts, read the benefits, see the statistics. And facts are great. There's a lot of great facts and benefits that you'll see out there. I love facts. My son the other day was sharing with me a bunch of facts about space, about the solar system. He's really into space right now. And he was saying, Dad, Venus is the same size as Earth just about, and Mars has two moons, and Jupiter has like 60-some-odd moons. And I'm falling, oh, wow, I didn't know any of this. And he says, and between Mars and Jupiter is the asteroid belt. And I said, oh, wow, son, the asteroid belt. Yes, Thomas, the asteroid belt. Do you know what would happen if our solar system didn't have an asteroid belt? No. What would happen? Well, its pants would fall down. He didn't think it was funny either. For those of you not laughing, but my wife spit out her coffee when she heard it. So these facts are great, but we have to share the benefit of them. What do they do for us? What does it do for us? What will natural family planning do for my marriage? Do for my marriage? So not just how effective it is, all that's wonderful, but what has it done for my marriage? And for me, it all boils down to one word. One word. Amore. Amore. Like the Dean Martin song, that word for love, amore. There are five key benefits to natural family planning that I've experienced in my life. And I remember those by this word, amore. A-M-O-R-E. Amore. These five key benefits are what I've experienced as a man and what I would like to share with you today. So the A. What is the first benefit that I've experienced with natural family planning? The A for amore is altruism. Altruism. Being at the service of others. Being at the service of others. I've found in my experience that natural family planning has prepared me to be at the service of my spouse, of my wife Megan. It's prepared me to be at her service. And you might say, how? Well, going back to the question from her aunt, how many children do you plan on having? Now, we could say, well, we'll literally have as many as God will give us without thinking about it. Or we could say, we are prayerfully discerning it. We are prayerfully discerning it, asking God to enter our marriage and asking Him to bless us and show us His will and guide us. And in doing that, there are times, as you know, where God, we discern through prayer and through discussion that we are not called to have more children at that time. We're not called to have more children at those times. So what do? Well, for our world, it's a given. What do? What does the world do? You discern that you're not going to have children at a particular time, what do? Get on the pill, right? Get on the pill. But for me, that would not in any way be at the service of my wife. Right? That would not be at the service of my wife. And why? Think of this for a minute. Let's suppose scientists had the ability to engineer tobacco so that it had a contraceptive effect. Just think about that for a minute. Let's say scientists figured out a way to engineer tobacco so that if you took up smoking, you would have a contraceptive effect from that. Right? And so you go to the doctor, and your doctor's saying, well, how many more children do you guys plan on having? You say, well, none right now. We discern that it's time to wait. Doctor says, no problem. Great new brand of cigarettes, over the counter, go to your local drugstore, buy them, pick them up, and you won't have to worry about it. Now, how many people would think that's okay? Oh yeah, sure, honey, just take up smoking, right? I mean, there is an obvious reason why there's a stigma against smoking. Now, if you're a smoker, I'm not judging you. I had to quit smoking. I smoked for years, and I struggled with it, so I'm not judging you. But we know, those of us who have smoked, we know it's not good for us, right? And there's a reasonable stigma against smoking in our culture. And that makes sense. Why? Because the Surgeon General's warning, right on the pack of the cigarettes. Smoking causes, not may cause, smoking causes lung cancer, heart disease, emphysema, and may complicate pregnancy, right? So no one would ever say, you know what, honey, we're not called to have more children right now, so I think it's in our best interest for you to take up smoking because it's got this contraceptive effect. But our society says, on the same hand, take up the pill. Honey, start taking the pill. That's what's best for our family now. Now, I mentioned that Surgeon General's warning, which is one sentence long. If I were to have a contraceptive packet here and pull out the warning label, it would be like a map, right? It would fold out like a map. It would be huge. In fine print, it would list all of the detrimental effects of this medicine.
Right. It would list all the detrimental effects, all the things that it does to us.
And our society is saying, you know what? You have to treat fertility as a disease. That's what you got to do. That's what you got to nip in the bud. That's what you got to take care of. And to do it, you have to take this very potentially harmful drug. Now, I'm not against medicine.
I'm not against medicine. You're not against medicine. I have to take a pill every day.
Every day for a condition that I have. And if I don't take it, I will be in severe pain constantly, and I'll essentially be crippled, or I wouldn't be able to walk. So I'm not against medicine, and I understand that certain medicines have side effects. Not a problem. The problem with contraception is, how is that at the service of my wife? How is that at the service of my wife? It would be like me saying, you know what, honey? I really don't like the way you look at things in the world. Your eyesight's a problem, right? Your eyesight's a problem, so we got to take care of that. We need to make it so that you can't see as much or at all, at least for certain times. Because I don't like how you look at other men, and I don't like the TV shows you watch. So your eyesight's a problem. And your fertility's a problem. That's why we got contraception. We would never do that, right? The world would think we're nuts. But here we treat fertility as though it's something to be overcome, when actually that's a gift. So natural family planning allows me as a man to look at my wife and see her fertility as a gift, and serve her, and serve her, be at the service of her in that gift, not to stifle that gift or put it in a box until it's convenient for me, but to serve her in her natural needs as a woman with that gift. So fertility is not a disease, and natural family planning helps me to recognize that daily. The fertility is something beautiful. It's not something to be overcome. It's something to be praised. Something to be praised. Natural family planning, another benefit of it for the family is through ecological breastfeeding. We all know about ecological breastfeeding and all the benefits for it, all the benefits that it has for children. So not only am I at the service of my wife in an altruistic way, we're at the service of our children. They have the benefits of breastfeeding, which every doctor says is the best milk. It's the best nutrition. It has the best antibiotic qualities, and it creates a strong bond between mother and child. So there's that benefit to our children. And the third altruistic benefit is this is not a stretch anymore. I used to think, well, maybe I won't share this. But the other day I read an article that there is an environmental detrimental effect of contraception. And this is not coming from Catholics. This research is not coming from Catholics. In fact, there's an organic food company called Eden Pure that is suing the federal government because the federal government is asking them to require contraception for their employees in their employee health plan. So they are suing the federal government, and on the grounds, not that they're against contraception, they're not necessarily, but they are against poisoning our environment. The detrimental effects that the pill has on the environment is causing poisons in the waterways, it's causing mutations in fish, it's wrecking the ecology of our waterways. So there's an environmental benefit not to take the pill. We're at the service of the environment by using natural family planning in that way. So those three benefits are altruistic benefits we can tell people about natural family planning. So that's the first, altruism. The second is maturity. So we have A, altruism, M, maturity. Help natural family planning, especially as a guy, I think, helps me grow in my maturity greatly. And it does so really by avoiding two extremes. We avoid two extremes as we're using natural family planning. On the one hand, we avoid the extreme of viewing sex as negative. The marital act as something negative. With natural family planning, the marital act is talked about daily. There is a daily chart, right? And there's a daily perspective. That's what we are called to do as a married couple. So we don't have a negative view of sex as though it's something that we just don't talk about or that's shameful. We view sexuality, we view the marital brace as a gift.
as a gift that we experience as married couples, that we give to each other. And we invite God into our marriage. We invite God into our marriage and we invite Him to help us discern when are the best times to utilize that gift. And so it makes us see sex for what it is, a gift from God. In fact, an interesting story. Are any of you here nurses? Any nurses here? No nurses? One nurse. Okay. Oh, sorry. When we were expecting our first son, Thomas, my mother-in-law wanted to fly out and be with us for that time. She's an obstetrics nurse. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I have this perception that nurses are very open about discussing medical issues. All right? Probably they're very open to sharing too much information at times. Right? So she was definitely open to that. So she's here. She's flown out for 2 weeks. She wants to be here. She wants to be with us for our son's birth. And the due date comes, and then a week goes by. And a couple days go by. And she's getting frustrated. She's worried that she's going to have to fly back home without seeing her grandson, her first grandson. And so she starts telling us the things that we can do to move things along. Well, you can start walking. You know, a little bit of light exercise. But frankly said, and John, you really need to be intimate with Megan. She's telling us this in our one-bedroom apartment in Steubenville, Ohio. She's saying, you really need to be intimate with Megan. There's a compound in your seed that will help to move things along. So natural family planning prepared me for that. And it's very open, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing to be open about these, to be open about our sexuality, and not to view it as something sinful or shameful. But obviously, on the other hand, it helps us to view it with great respect. View it with great respect. In our culture, we have this divorce between sex, marriage, and children. And that is damaging. That is incredibly damaging to our society. It's damaging to families. It's damaging to marriages. And just think about why that would be. The great tragedy that this is. When we divorce children from the sexual act, we make it void of its intrinsic and most beautiful meaning. Children. When we divorce children from the sexual act is reduced to not self-gift, but self-gratification. Self-gratification. It's no longer a self-gift. And I tell many people when I'm teaching marriage preparation, you know, if it just boils down to pleasure, not that there's anything wrong with pleasure, pleasure's wonderful, but if that's all that sexuality is about, if it's just about pleasure, and that's all you hope to get out of it, well, what happens when your spouse can no longer provide that source of pleasure? Because there are many situations where this might happen. I travel a lot, right? So, obviously, my spouse can't provide that for me at those times. There could be medical conditions that prevent it from happening. What happens when we can no longer provide that to our spouses? When we divorce the procreative meaning from sex, it's reduced to merely self-gratification. And we can very easily end up using each other. Natural family planning reminds me daily what the meaning of our sexuality is. It has, yes, a marital meaning, yes, pleasure. There's this unitive aspect of it, but also children. It speaks of life. It speaks of life. It speaks of the two coming together to give of each other in a fruitful way. In a fruitful way. So it allows me to not use or abuse my wife. It reminds me constantly of that intrinsic meaning of our sexuality. And it helps me to have a better grasp of my ability to give myself of my wife in times of abstinence as well. It helps me to understand, you know, during abstinent times, I've matured. Just because we can't do that act because we've discerned that it's best for that time, at that time, not to have children. It helps me to grow and mature and understand why. Not like I'm being denied something, right? And as I said before, during those times, I don't look at my wife's fertility as a burden. Like, oh, man,
I really wish you didn't have fertility. Because when you think about it, as a guy, we are fertile 100% of the time. We have no 8 days. So it helps me to remember that her fertility is a gift. Her fertility is a gift, and I've matured in that way through using natural family planning. So altruism, A is altruism, M is maturity, and O. O is a little bit of a stretch. I had to go with the Latin word on this one. Orans. Orans means prayer. Prayer. Natural family planning has helped to enrich my spiritual life. It's helped to enrich my spiritual life. First of all, my wife and I, again, every day through charting and discussing the symptoms, we are asking ourselves every day, what does God want from us? What does God want from us at this time? What does God want from us next month? Well, what does God want from us today? And we are every day turning to God in prayer as a couple and asking for His guidance and His wisdom for our lives, asking that His will be done for us in our marriage. And you know the different types of prayer. The first and highest forms of prayer are praise and thanksgiving, right? So through natural family planning, we give praise and thanks to God for our gift. For our gift as being made men and women in His image and likeness. For that great gift that we as mere creatures have the ability to participate in creation. That we as mere creatures have the ability to invite God into our marriage to bring about new life. So we give praise and thanks to God for that. And natural family planning helps us to do that on a daily basis. There's this rhythm, right? Not the rhythm method, but there's this rhythm to life. There's this rhythm that every day we are going through, tracking the signs. And those daily reminders of those signs reminds us of a time to pray as well. Reminds us to pray daily and seek God's guidance. But to praise and thank Him for our gift of our sexuality and our fertility. To praise and thank Him for the children He's already blessed us with. We have four, by the way. We're blessing us with four children. And then we ask God to help us. Because it's not easy. It's not always easy. But we invite God to help us. In those times where we determine that we need to be absent, we invite Him to bless us and help us embrace the beauty of that time. Help us to be steadfast in our love for each other. And in those times where we can participate in the marital embrace, we ask God to remind us of the beauty of that. We ask God to remind us of what we are doing as a couple in renewing our marital vows. So we're asking for guidance. We're asking for discernment. But at times we also ask for forgiveness, obviously. I'm not perfect. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I'm not. I'm not perfect, and so at times I will not be the best guy, right? At times I will be frustrated with the situation, whatever it is. I'll be frustrated, and so we use that time to ask each other for forgiveness when we've messed up, but to ask God for forgiveness. So natural family planning has a prayerful aspect, Arons. It has a prayerful aspect. It helps me to enrich my spiritual life and my walk with the Lord. So we have A, altruism, M, maturity, O, Orans. You got to guess R. What's R? Romance. Respect is good. But that's wrapped up in altruism, I think. So, but yes, romance. Natural family planning is romantic. It is romantic. I share this with couples when we're teaching marriage preparation, how this has really ignited a fire in our intimacy. It's ignited a fire in our intimacy. First, I want to talk about those times where we've discerned that we should be abstinent. In those times, we experience a mini courtship. In those 8 days, and it's pretty consistent, during that 8-day period, we experience a miniature courtship. Where we do something that I don't think we would have found ourselves doing otherwise. We just enjoy
being with each other. We enjoy being with each other. You know, oftentimes in our world, we're used to looking at somebody and thinking, well, you can't do much for me, so you're not useful, right? You don't have a use. And not having a use sometimes to us means you don't have a worth. But we have a worth as human beings just by being. We have an intrinsic dignity and value as human beings by merely existing. We don't have to do or accomplish anything. We have a value because we are made in the image and likeness of God. So for those 8 days, we are reminded of the value of who we are as husband and wife, and we just enjoy being with each other. One of the greatest joys I'm reminded of through using Natural Family Plan, it reminds me of my wedding day, where for the first time in my life, I went to bed next to the woman I loved. I went to bed next to the woman that I loved. And for the first time in my life, the next day, I woke up with her beside me. Even if the sexual act wasn't involved, those two moments were one of the happiest moments of my life. And with Natural Family Planning, those two moments happen basically every day. Basically every day, I go to bed with the woman of my dreams, and I wake up with her. She doesn't have to do anything to make me happy. Just being there makes me happy. Natural Family Planning helps me to see that, reminds me of that. But also, on the other hand, you have those 8 days where you just enjoy being with each other, and then you have the mini honeymoon. Pretty much every month. It works out every month where you've gone through the discernment, you've gone through those 8 days of abstinence, and you've read the signs, and now you experience a miniature honeymoon. There's probably few things more damaging to marriage than mechanical, uninvolved, and meaningless romance. We're doing it because, well, that's what, I'm frustrated. And I just, want that right now. That doesn't happen with Natural Family Planning. You appreciate every month that act, and you enter into it. And it's every month like a new honeymoon. In fact, I would say in my experience as a man that those times of waiting and returning to intimacy were better. We're better than our honeymoon. Not that we had a bad honeymoon, it was great. But they are better. They are much better. Because as we've grown in our love for each other over the years, it's all the more made that act more meaningful, more involved, and more intimate. So it's a beautiful experience that every month we have this miniature honeymoon. But more so, I think with Natural Family Planning, we have something that few people experience. And that is No regrets. Now, I have a sordid past. Before I was married, I wasn't perfect, and I was involved in that act. And every time after it was finished, that guilt would come, right? That guilt would come. And every time I regretted it because I knew it wasn't right. I knew in my heart something wasn't right there. But with Natural Family Planning, I obviously don't have that because I'm married. But more so I don't have that because we have done the discernment. We have gone through the prayer, the time of prayer. We've invited Christ into our marriage. We've asked Him to bless us. And we've given ourselves to Him. And we know that that's what He wants for us. So at no time are there regrets. And there's nothing more romantic than that. So at no time are there regrets. We can celebrate every single act. Every single act for what it is, this gift of self. So, there are no regrets. That is the R, romance. So, let's see if you guys can name it now before we get to the last one. It's A, altruism. M, maturity. O, Oran's prayer. R is romance. E, a little bit of a stretch here too, but I think it works, expression, expressing ourselves to each other. With Natural Family Planning, we communicate. We communicate with each other. Now, there's communication, and then there's communication. You can talk about the weather, the people you don't know, right? You can talk about how poorly the Phillies are doing this year.
and how poorly the Eagles will probably do. So you can talk about those things with others. And they're at a very basic level, but you're not really communicating. Communication, where you are exchanging each other. Natural family planning, we are communicating. Again, every day, through this natural rhythm and cycle of our fertility, we are communicating big picture questions. Not just, do I need to take a coat with me to work today, but what are we being asked of? What is God asking of us? And I'm not a good guy all the time, right? But I can honestly say, I don't think I've ever said to my wife, I don't want to talk about that. Because there's no bigger issue. There's no bigger responsibility than bringing life into the world. There's nothing I can't talk about with her. There's nothing we can't work through, because we are wrestling with these big questions on a daily basis. And it just comes naturally. Through that rhythm of our fertility, it just comes naturally. We talk about these big questions. And we learn to express ourselves to each other. Not only how's the weather doing, but how are you doing? How are you doing? And we're able to share our feelings, our concerns, our anxiety, our worries, and our blessings. And we're able to comfort each other, but on a daily basis we're doing this, because natural family planning keeps us communicating with each other. It keeps us expressing each other. So when I come home from work, I just don't say, well, you know, when's dinner ready or anything like that. You know, again, beginning in the morning, we're communicating these issues. Beginning at that time, we're talking about these big questions, about these big questions. And I want to return to prayer. So communication with each other, but obviously communication with God. Arons and expression. We're doing it as a couple with God. And there have been times in our life where we have faced major difficulties. No different than any of you, most likely. But we have faced major, major difficulties in our marriage. Not necessarily as a married couple, but financial difficulties, spiritual difficulties, and worries and concerns. And in each one of those times, we've had this attitude that we have been so blessed that if tomorrow God took it all away, we'd be okay. We'd be okay. For example, our latest child, Lewis, we have four children. Our most recent child, Lewis, he's two. He's two now. He came around at what most would consider a very non-ideal time. We were in the process of a move, so my wife really couldn't help with that. But we were in a process of moving our three children into our new home. We were in that transitional period. I had just taken on a number of responsibilities at my job that kept me busy. And then one day we got a phone call from the doctor about a lump in Megan's breast. And here I am with my wife, who's a homeschooling mother of three children and one on the way. So she's a homeschooling mother, and that's a worry. That's a concern. That's a concern, and it wasn't easy to face. But being able to communicate with my wife on a daily basis, bringing God into our marriage on a daily basis, helped to prepare me for that. I didn't have a worry or concern, really, because God was there, and I knew that He would take care of us. I knew He would not abandon us. So that communication with God and with each other prepares us to face those difficulties that we are going to face in our marriage, that we're going to face in our marriage. So that is the what? Amore. Just think amore. That's what you share. Those are some of the benefits I've experienced in my life with natural family planning. Now, how do you share it? How do you share it? As Dr. Ruppersberger said, I work for Ascension Press. So we have a lot of publications, a lot of things that we're publishing. And in doing that, it's very important to get things right. The content's important, but if we don't deliver it in the right way, it has a totally different meaning. You may have heard this before, but consider the sentence, "Let's eat, Grandma," right? "Let's eat, Grandma," versus "Let's eat, Grandma." Totally different meaning. So how we deliver the message can change it completely.
It can change it completely, and it will change how it's received from those with whom we're engaging. So how do we deliver the message of natural family planning? Well, first, I think it's very important for us to remember a scene in the Gospels where you have a publican and a Pharisee. Now, we know Christ said a lot of harsh things in his ministry. Not all the time, but he said a lot of harsh things in his ministry. But most of his harsh words, and his harshest of words, were reserved not for sinners, not for tax collectors, not for those who weren't living a moral life, but for hypocrites, for the Pharisees who were hypocrites. Those were his harshest words. He said it was better for Sodom and Gomorrah. It would be better on the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than for those hypocrites. And so we have this scene in the gospel where an upstanding, law-abiding citizen comes in before God and he says, "Oh God, thank you for not making me like this guy. This publican, right? This guy right over here. He's terrible, man. Cheat, tax collector, and all that stuff. I pay my tithes to the temple. And I give alms, and I sacrifice like I'm supposed to, and even more. Thank you." And then we have the publican. Obviously, Christ is telling us to identify with the publican. Obviously, we should do what the Pharisee is doing. Obviously, we should be upright. Obviously, we should follow the moral law and the guidance of the church. But most importantly, we should approach God with humility. And the publican says a prayer that Eastern Christians and Eastern Catholics pray daily. Now, he says, "Have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy on me, a sinner." And we, as Eastern Catholics, say, "O Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner." It's called the Jesus Prayer. And so I think we should remember that prayer. We should remember that prayer, especially when we're delivering this message. We have problems. We have backgrounds, and we need to look at each other, look at our neighbor with love. So when we're delivering the message, number one, we should do it from the heart. We should do it from the heart. We should do it from the heart to where I'm not just telling somebody because I want to be right. Obviously, natural family planning is the right thing to do. But knowing the truth and delivering the truth are two different things. So it should be done from the heart. They should be able to see the joy in our face when we're talking. They should be able to see the joy in our face when we're talking about our children. Most people can't see your faith, right? If I said, "Show me your faith," you might go get me a catechism. But I can see your joy. I can see love. I can see love in how you carry yourself. If you were to watch someone for a while, you can see that. So deliver the message from the heart. Speak from the heart with joy. With joy. With compassion. Speak with compassion. There are serious wounds. Serious wounds. I had them in my life. My wife had them. That we've had to work through even in our own marriage. So there are serious wounds faced in society. There are serious wounds that have to be overcome, and we have to be mindful of that. We can't be judgmental. We have to be mindful of the difficulties that people have faced in their own lives. And remember that we are planting seeds. We are planting seeds. We are not going to change someone's mind today. Right? You're not going to overcome those wounds today. I was saying to Christine Rizzo before the conference that, you know, St. Paul had an amazing conversion experience that most people don't experience. Right away, God knocked him down on the road to Damascus, and he had a vision. And that was his conversion experience. But St. Paul tells us that one man planted, another man sowed, another man watered, another man reaped. In other words, there are seeds that we plant. We are involved in a process. It's organic. It's not going to be done overnight. So we have to approach this with compassion and realize that those we meet are not going to be on the same page with us from day one. And at the end of day one, they're not going to be on the same page. So we have to have that compassion. We have to be empathetic to where they're coming from. And I think very important for us to acknowledge the difficulty. This is not easy. As I said at the beginning, contraception's a given. It's a given. That is the cultural mindset. Our perspective is countercultural. It's countercultural. And it's beautiful.
And it's probably the best countercultural movement our society's faced in a long time. But we are countercultural, so we have to acknowledge that, yes, there obviously is a difficulty. Yes, there is a change of mindset, a change of worldview. But the beauty of this message helps us to overcome that difficulty. So speak from the heart. Speak with compassion. Speak without being judgmental. And acknowledge the difficulty of this. And finally, in conclusion, I want to share a short reflection that I found helpful in my own marriage in the last few minutes here. A short reflection about preparing for the intimate act of our marital embrace. When I think of that act, I think of the Eucharist. I think of the Eucharist. In the Eucharist, Christ tells us at his Last Supper, "This is my body given up for you." So, in the Mass, we are invited to receive the Eucharist every Sunday, even every day. We're invited to go and receive Christ's body in the Eucharist. And as we walk, before we walk up that aisle, we should go through an examination. St. Paul tells us, again, that those who do not discern the body of the Lord receive unto their condemnation. And I'm not condemning anyone here, but I think Paul is saying two things. Number one, he's obviously speaking about the real presence. Right? There's a real presence of Christ in the Eucharist there. He is really present, and you need to recognize that he is really giving himself to you, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. But I think the second thing he is saying and implying is, if that's the case, we have to reflect, am I giving myself to Christ here? Am I just taking from him? Or am I giving of myself? Am I open to the fruitfulness that he wants to bring into my life as I go to receive him in this most intimate exchange we can possibly have with God this side of heaven? Am I open to his gift? And am I open to returning in kind my gift of self so that he will be fruitful in my life? So that he will be fruitful in my life. And so I think as couples, as we are preparing for the marital embrace, we should ask ourselves those same questions. Do I recognize the gift right now that Megan wants to give me? Am I recognizing the gift of who she is as a person, of her fertility, of her procreative power? Am I recognizing this life-giving gift that she wants to give me? And am I giving in return? Or am I just taking it for my own personal gain? That's helped me to reflect upon that act and make it even more meaningful and romantic. So why don't we close with that prayer, that Jesus prayer, and ask God to have mercy on us and heal us of our wounds and prepare us to receive him and receive each other as he wants us to. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I think we have a few minutes for questions now. If you would like to ask a few questions, how much time do we have?
About 7 minutes.
About 7 minutes for questions. And I want to mention a few things that I have on the table over there, but I'd like to open it for questions first. Yes?
Excellent talk. So breastfeeding, very familiar with that with our children. You use the term ecological breastfeeding, which I haven't heard. Can you make a differentiation on that?
Ecological breastfeeding, and I'm not the expert here, but that is essentially feeding your child, nursing your child, whenever your child wants to be nursed. Not everyone can do this because they're working mothers, right? So working mothers can't do the extreme, if you will, of ecological breastfeeding because they don't have their child by their side all day. But it basically means nursing your child whenever they are hungry. And for us, that has spaced our children tremendously. Our children are 2 and 3 years apart, which has really helped us and helped us to be open to life, but helped us to raise those children so that we're not having two in diapers at the same time and juggling those schedules. So that's what it is, basically nursing whenever the child wants. Yes?
What's your perception in your generation of men's response to natural family planning?
Yeah, my perception is that guys don't care.
That's my perception. And that's my background. It's usually not that the guys are opposed to it, but I was raised Catholic. I went to Mass every Sunday, and I just didn't care. I didn't care. In fact, I didn't start returning to Mass. I went off to college, as you mentioned. I went to Benedictine College. My first semester, I don't think I attended Sunday Mass once. I started going to Mass because I started dating a girl who was going to Mass every Sunday. And so my perspective is the guys just don't care. It's whatever. And so I would like them to care. And that's why I like to share the benefits of it. Again, I don't think it's an opposition as much as an apathy. So if we can share the beauty of what this will do and the benefits that will bring them as men, that it will bring their marriage, then I think that they'll see it differently. Yes? Oh, yeah. Well, it's amore. Just think amore. So I think the explanations that I gave for those 5 points will help you to elaborate on the topic. As I said, you're going to need to enter into a conversation. You'll need to catch their attention, but I think you'll catch it with those 5 points. Instead of saying altruism, you would say NFP makes you a better person. You'll be more mature. You'll have a better spiritual life. You'll have more intimacy in your marriage, and you'll communicate more with your spouse. Just say that. Yeah, you could do that. Everyone can do that, right? But to remember,
I'm here to learn. I'm not really worth it for all that. How to pass that thing. Why not? So I just want to make it so that the young people can actually grasp what I'm talking about quickly enough so that they're not. I mean, I know I only got 40 seconds.
Yeah, you have 144 characters. Twitter. That's what you got. So if you just say those 5 things, again, we as Catholics, we have this belief that our faith is to be proposed, not imposed, right? We can't knock people over the head and make them Catholic. So if you say those 5 things, you let the Holy Spirit do the work. They're most likely, in my experience, the guy will follow up the question, well, what do you mean it's more romantic? I gotta wait. Oh, let me tell you. That gives you that entry. What do you mean I'll be a better person? Oh, let me tell you about that. So those are the ends, saying those 5 benefits, and then you expand on it later. Any more questions? Okay, I wanted to, oh yes, go ahead.
How's your wife?
How's my wife? She's doing great. She's doing great, thank you. Yes, it wasn't cancerous, so appreciate the question. Yes? People love beauty, like you're saying. They want to be attracted. You attract, I hate this expression because it uses flies, but you attract more flies with honey than with vinegar, right? So people want beauty. They want that richness. They want to be better. And if we quickly say why that is, it will attract. Well, thanks for your attention. I do want to mention a couple of things. As I said, I teach marriage preparation with the Archdiocese of Philadelphia on various weekends. And we are actually looking for more host parishes. If your parish would be interested in hosting a marriage preparation weekend, okay? I've got flyers in the back here for that, if you'd like to see me. And also, we are putting on the National Catholic Bible Conference here in Philadelphia, or in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia again this year. It's going to be at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Czestochowa in Doylestown. I won't be speaking there, but Jeff Cavins will, Scott Hahn, Bishop Arthur Saratelli from Patterson. It's going to be phenomenal. Some great, great speakers. Yes, Steve. Yeah, so Steve has flyers on the Archdiocesan table, and I have some brochures on the Ascension Press tables as well. So if you're interested in going to that, we have the information, June 21st and 22nd. Yes?
I have one more question.
Okay.
We talk about natural family planning in the concept of pre-Cana, or married prep, right? But there's a lot of Catholic couples that have children in school that have grown up in a contraceptive mentality. And the schools are starting to introduce theology of the body to these parents. I just attended a course at St. Andrew's in Newtown. Theology of the body for middle school.
With Barry Pine, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And I can feel the change to interject because of the theology of the body. Natural family planning would just automatically blend right in with that because of true love and dignity and all that. How can we gear in on people who have grown up in a contraceptive mentality to help them understand the true beauty of NFP? How do we reach them?
I think you stated an interesting angle there.
Yeah.
When you speak about their children going to theology of the body courses, my family, I experienced a profound conversion in my life when I was at Benedictine College. And because of that, my family went through a conversion process. I'm not saying it was me, but obviously the Holy Spirit entered our family at that time. He chose that time to bring us closer to Him. And I came from a background where contraception was accepted. Contraception was accepted. That's not the case anymore in our family. That's not the case. And so when we feed children the truth, the beauty of God's gift, of the church's message, when we feed our children that, they bring those principles home. They bring those principles home to their parents. And sometimes they become the teachers of their parents. And when that happens, those parents will have questions. So those theology of the body nights for their parents are a good time to capture their hearts, to remind them of this gift of natural family planning. But those seeds can be sowed through their children. Obviously, priests should incorporate this into their homilies as well. Because the fact of the matter is, many of these people, the only times we're going to get them are for that 15 minutes where the priest is speaking on Sunday. So encourage your priest to talk about it. But I think their children are also a powerful means of conversion. I know that was the experience in my family. Yeah, I wouldn't want to say that any generation is necessarily lost, but we can certainly learn a lot from our children. They're asking questions, which is something that the generations prior to ours were not asked to do. They're asking questions and challenging us and our faith, but they're also challenging other institutions. So I think we could see great fruit from there. But there's also, we have to teach adults, because ultimately those children will go home, and that's their environment. So we do have to reach adults. We have to bring this message to our parishes. But I know you have to move on. Thanks.
Good job.